In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. We'll be continuing our reflection on this apostolic exhortation, Verbum Domini. We've just finished the section on tradition, and we move now to the next section, which is on inspiration and truth. Those are the normal, when you teach a course on Scripture, you start with these ideas. Okay, now the Synod worked on them, trying to integrate what is sound in historical study with these issues. So we're going to begin now with the number 19. A key concept for understanding the sacred text as the Word of God in human words is certainly that of inspiration. Here, too, we can suggest an analogy as the Word of God became flesh by the power of the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary, so sacred Scripture is born from the womb of the Church by the power of the same Spirit. Sacred Scripture is the Word of God set down in writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And that's from the Vatican document Dei Verbum. Another way of saying this is that it is an act of God giving divine light and authority to the tradition. That is, the tradition is confided to writing, as I'm going to discuss in a moment. And that means it gives it a fixity and a stability, surrounded by the living tradition which supports and gathers up and carries the Word. So, the Pope then goes on to talk about, one recognizes the full importance of the human author who wrote the inspired text, and at the same time, God himself as the true author. The Synod Fathers also stressed the link between the theme of inspiration and that of the truth of the Scriptures. These are, to this day, great theological issues. I'm going to discuss them briefly. Where are we in understanding this? There is a fine book just published by the abbot Dennis Farkasfalvi, F-A-R-K-A-S-F-A-L-V-Y, Farkasfalvi. I think it's Catholic University Press. It's an attempt by a professional scripture man who's on the Pontifical Biblical Commission, actually, to put together what we're pretty sure of historically with the notion of inspiration. He credits in this section of his own book the work of Father Luis Alonso Shekel, a very dear friend with whom I translated and wrote a part of the book that he's talking about. And that's called The Inspired Word. I don't know if it's still in print, but it's also very helpful. What have we discovered as we have worked with this? You see, the Word of God, the written Word of God, is the fruit of the life, the tradition of the people as the Holy Spirit worked with them. And so it is the model of a single author writing. It certainly applied, certainly with Paul, for instance, and to a large degree with John. But it doesn't with Isaiah, or maybe even Matthew in another way, a single author, single book. that is our model. It's pretty easy to work somehow with inspiration. But when it's this work of the Holy Spirit in and through the people, not in the way of Emil Durkheim and all that crowd, the sort of the Volksgeist, you know, no. This is the Spirit at work. For instance, there are editors who are working with the text, moved by the Holy Spirit, and making a unity. Perfect example, there are clearly three different dates for the three different sections of Isaiah. First Isaiah, second Isaiah, third Isaiah. So the first one goes I should have looked it up myself, 50. Where does second Isaiah begin? Isaiah 49. If you don't mind, I'm going to take a look. Yes, 40. 1 to 39. And then 40 to 55. And then 56 to 66. I had a lapsus memoria there. But somebody edited this whole thing. The greatest commentary on that is that by Brevard Childs, who spent his life working with Isaiah, showing how the editor or editors made an interlocking statement respecting the three different sections, but making of them one message. It's quite beautiful. Now, that was the work of the Holy Spirit as part of inspiration. He was already called it the Book of the 12 Minor Prophets. They're different. You know, they're not the same. But they have been edited in such a way that they make one coherent statement. That is also part of the work of the Holy Spirit, because it's only in this edited form that we have the canon, which was first settled upon the Old Testament at Yavne, probably, somewhere around the year 90. What's canon, what's not. All of that is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's very exciting. So we need to pursue this, and we need historical work and theological work to understand this masterpiece, this Word of God, which is so full of life, so full of joy. And St. Thomas says, you study this, and you find delectationes in inerabiles, unspeakable delights. So, the Pope is discussing that sort of thing here. Certainly theological, I'm going on with this number 19, has always been considered inspiration and truth as two key concepts for an ecclesial hermeneutic of the sacred scripture. They're true. And finally, he ends by saying, here I would express my fervent hope that research in this field will progress and bear fruit for biblical science and for the spiritual life of the faithful. It is gravely important that we take what's solidly established in good historical work, good literary work, looking at the levels, first Isaiah, second Isaiah, third Isaiah, the Book of the 12. Jeremiah has chapters there that have to be understood, how they got where they are, and so forth. And we're not there. To say nothing of the famous synoptic problem. We have made huge steps forward in that, because the idea that there were these communities and they produce these texts. Communities don't produce texts. People do. And so, and then somehow the community recognized this, put it forward. But what its relationship is to the life of Jesus, an historical event. Now that's been wonderfully set aside because of the philosophy underlying it, which, as I say, starts with Emil Durkheim. And his whole analysis, he's an atheist, praised highly Auguste de Comte, who was an outright materialist, and then picked up by Gunkel, and I'm not going to bother you with all of that. But, you see, no. There is an oral tradition based on eyewitnesses, and there are good studies. Right now, the work of, there's this work called The Jesus Legend, and saying, of course, it's not a legend. Very solid work. And then there's the other by, his name will come in a minute, but it's showing. And then there's the, I think it's Bocquemille himself, the oral tradition in John. And the fixity, the power of oral tradition. What I'm saying is, this text witnesses to itself by the power with which it communicates divine truth. That's a fact. Now, as we try to do some literary archaeology to get to understand it better, it's just a big help. You see, we need divine assistance to understand and to throw off, if I could use a strong phrase, you see, the Kantian captivity of biblical studies. You've heard about the Babylonian captivity. Well, for a long time there was a Kantian captivity. The underlying theory of cognition was totally subject-centered. It's the thinking subject is determinative of the knowledge. No. God is determinative because he made all the objects. And they share in that generosity of God. As the old Greek philosophers used to say, bonum est diffusivum sui. Goodness is diffusive of itself. So God, who is infinitely good, is infinitely diffusive because he wants to be. That's creation. That's the calling of the people. That's the guiding of the people. That's the Holy Spirit working in the people. That's, you know, producing this living tradition fixed in writing, but needing its tradition to be understood. And we've talked about that before. And that's where we are with this question. Father Farkas Falvey's book, brand new, just this year, is well worth reading, as is Father Alonzo Shekel's book. So we're going to leave that question. We're going to move on the next time to look at truth, which is another big question. But you see, it's okay. We can work hard at these things and trust God. And as the old Arab proverb says, leave a little work for our children. Okay, we'll be finished with that for today.